The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Hi, this is Rodders, and I realise I'm not Trevor Dan, but I'm here this week on the Radio Today programme to introduce this special Arqiva Commercial Radio Awards edition. We've got exclusive backstage, front stage, and even toilet side interviews. David Lloyd will be here later with Radio Moments. Coming up on this star-studded episode, I chat with Richard Park, Tony Blackburn, John Holmes, Nick Ferrari, Phil Riley, Rob Wills, Paul Sylvester, and I even get my moment with the Murs, Ollie Murs, and many, many more of radio's brightest and best. But not before we've sent our best wishes to Trevor and hope that he gets well soon. I'm joined with Nick Ferrari and LBC. What a year it's been an amazing year for LBC.
Oh, it's been a fantastic year. I mean, we went national back in February. We had the Clegg Farage debate, which went really, really well, and we seem to have had great research from that. We had a decent night at the Radio Academy Awards. Could have been better. We've had a great night at the Arqivas. We're feeling good.
Have you noticed any particular difference in the callers or the feel of your show since going national on DAB?
Good question, yeah. Many more callers coming from literally all over the country, which is fantastic. But we only take the callers on merit. So, if you're listening right now and you happen to be in Catford, don't worry, we won't give Cardiff precedence. The best callers get first.
How do you balance? Because it was LBC, it was nice to have the London-centric conversation. Do you worry that you might have lost something by going national? Though you've got more stories, there might be something lost.
See, I hear that argument, but I don't buy it. Listen, Harvey Nichols have opened in Leeds. It's still a sensational store in London. Same with Selfridges. They've expanded around as well. We still know what our key brand is. We still know what our key audience is. That's what we're doing, and that's what we're delivering.
Boris in a cable car. What do you think of that? It's an extraordinary thing to do, particularly on radio. What do you think are the merits of stunts such as that?
It's not a stunt. It's great fun. I don't believe the cable car is money well spent. It's about £80 million of taxpayers' money. Well, about half, £40 million of taxpayers' money. I think it was money that should not have been spent. But look forward to September. Boris and I, we get hosed down. We've got the date. It's September. We get hit by those water cannons. And we're doing it in Gravesend in Kent.
Brilliant. One more question. Every day you have to be opinionated. You have to engage with people on the phone. Some days, do you just not feel like arguing? How do you get yourself riled up each and every day to put on that performance?
No. When you've got people like David Cameron, Nick Clegg and Ed Miliband in power, it's actually quite easy.
It's always enough to be angry about.
It's quite easy.
Nick Ferrari, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Thank you very much.
Michelle Livesley has just got off the stage after picking up Journalist of the Year. How confident were you going into this?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, I've won a few awards this year, which has been great. Everyone's been saying it's your year this year, but there's so much stiff competition, and Tom Swarbrick and even my colleague at Bauer, Connor Gillies, they've done some great work this year, and to be up against them and I didn't know which way it was going to go, and to actually receive this award today is amazing.
Do you know what pipped it for you? Do you think there was any particular story that caught the judge's ear?
Yeah, I think Claire's Law has been my major achievement out of my whole career, to be honest with you, knowing that Claire's Law has got passed this year as a national law and seen Scotland follow suit, and even the other day David Cameron talking about Claire's Law in the Commons, that was my campaign, that's what I started out from scratch, and to see it over those years develop and pass as a law, that's my achievement. I think that's what's being recognised.
And with Tom Swarbrick and Vicky Etchells from LBC, just picked up an award for your Slavery on Our Streets programme. Did you think it was it's a unique bit of programming. Do you think it was up for a chance?
Well, we hoped that it would do well, obviously it's a great award to receive, and we're absolutely thrilled that it's impressed the judges enough, the esteemed judging panel, to be able to win.
People generally, when you think of the word slavery, you think of bygone times. It's shocking to think it's actually in our streets now. How did you manage to get people to think about such an uncomfortable truth?
By presenting it to them very openly and very honestly, and making them see that it's in the restaurants that you go to eat in, it's in the bars that you go to drink in, and it is as prevalent as it was 200 years ago. It's just the people doing it make even more money.
Did you ever feel in danger for your own safety when making this programme?
Well, no, because Tom was our reporter on it, so no, I absolutely didn't feel safely in the office.
I felt Vicky might have been in danger through me making the programme, because
yes,
I requested a lot of her time to try and put it together.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Ollie Murs, are you used to hearing a song on the radio yet?
No, I want it to be played more. But thank you so much for this award tonight. It's great stuff. Are you having a good night?
Awesome night. You've been on the radio a lot. You've been on with Moyles. Any thoughts of doing your own show somewhere in the future? You're obviously a fan.
I love radio. I love presenting on it. I've done a lot of different things in the past. And 100% in the future, would love to get on more radio, yeah.
Do you still think, despite Spotify and YouTube, are you still thinking radio is important for artists?
Oh, radio is one of the most important things. I think it's a key element because obviously there's social media, there's there's YouTube now, there's all these different ways of streaming music. But I think radio is still a massive component in that. And I think that I've always been, you know, a firm believer that getting to as many radio stations as possible, getting that single out there, and it's a massive part.
Phil Riley, congratulations on the awards.
You
must have been to an awful lot of these events. Is this the best one you've been to because the award?
To get an award that you're not expecting and for it to be a special award, that's fantastic. It's really, really, I'm thrilled.
It's a broad category. It encompasses hard work across a long, long time. Do you know anything, do you think you did any particular standout thing that would have got it?
I suspect it's because of all the various radio stations that I've been involved with over the years. You know, if you stay around long enough, eventually somebody will give you a gong, so that's fantastic.
Chris Bourne, sales team of the year. Who else am I joined by? Sorry, what's your name?
Sally Ardis and Katie Bowden.
And you picked up a lovely shiny award for sales team of the year. What does it take to sell nowadays? Because people are counting the pennies. It's got harder as the years have gone on, I think.
I think innovation is definitely key for what clients are looking for. Quite often they see radio as a more traditional medium, so we really need to keep up with the times and show what we can do from a digital aspect as well.
And also kind of inspiring what our listeners want to get involved in. You know, so much people can get hung up on their own key message and what a client wants to say, but we've also got to remember what actually our consumers want to get involved in, and that's why this campaign was successful.
How do you build long-lasting relationships with your clients who are buying adverts?
It's about trust. The more they trust us to integrate their message into our programming, the better. No one wants badging anymore. No one wants boring, crappy, off-the-shelf competitions. What we did with Bournemouth and what we do with everything we do at XFM is all about getting the client message integrated into our editorial. That's what it is.
You've got to get it in sales. You get walked into sales rooms, people are on the phones all the time. How do you get the line drawn between, as you said, badgering and building a relationship? Because you've got to be out there, you've got to be forward, but you can't annoy people, I guess.
It's the idea, it's the creative idea. It's if it comes from programming and it works well for the client, that's what it's all about.
What are the plans for the next couple of months? Anything exciting on the horizon?
Not that we can say at the minute, but
okay, secret
coming up. Yes,
I was hoping for an exclusive there. I was hoping for the.
There's always exciting things on XFM.
I really wanted the secret to selling, then I could have sold something and gone on holiday. Wonderful. Thank you for joining me tonight. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Broadcast by Onyx, creators of PhoneBox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Sterlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Fresh off the stage from hosting the night and clutching yet another shiny award is Christian O'Connell.
Hi there, good evening.
So, loads of awards. You're doing the show about 8 years on Absolute / Virgin when it was Virgin. Does it get easier as time goes on because you're more comfortable and confident, or does it get harder and harder to think of that new idea?
You never get used to getting up at 12 minutes past 4 in the morning. You never get used to that. I'm lucky. I'm still very excited by doing breakfast shows. They are the most exciting shows to do. I've been doing it almost 16 years, breakfast radio, and I genuinely really enjoy it. The big thing is, the moment the show starts and the first text or phone call comes in or tweet, you feel this kind of lifeblood coming from the audience. I'm like a vampire. I feed off them.
Do you still get nervous? That moment before you push the fader up to start the show, do you still get that butterflies feeling?
Yep, every single day. And do you know what? It took me a long time to realise this because it used to really annoy me. Especially after a while, I thought, why do I still get this? But I'm glad I do still get it because I think you need that. It still shows that it still means something to me. Now, I should be nervous, you know, I'm going on a national breakfast show.
You've been doing a stand-up tour recently. Do you find stand-up compliments the radio? Because it's quite a different thing. Because at least if you do a joke and it doesn't work on radio, no one's going to throw things at you and they have to go through a call screener to heckle you. So do you find it compliments?
Some of it is the same and some of it's completely different. You know, but the one thing about doing a breakfast show and doing a show 4 hours a day is that you have to generate new material every day, which is great for stand-up because I've got a sometimes I'll try stuff out on the show and I can see if it generates lots of calls and lots of texts. I think, right, maybe I might better do something on the live stand-up show about this. So they do. There is some crossover. And in other areas, you've got to be a lot punchier, a lot quicker with the delivery on stage.
Wix has been a sponsor for quite a while now, and you've done some amazingly creative promotions with them. And a couple of days ago, you were giving away drills. Are builders a huge part of your target audience?
Well, the first hour of the show is when we do a lot of our stuff for Wix, because a lot of their audience are up and going to work and already at work on building sites. So strategically, that's when their audience is listening to the show they've worked out. And they're a brilliant sponsor. They let us have a lot of fun with them. What more can you ask for than that from a sponsor?
With the new owners, are they letting you pick the colour of your office?
No.
And the wallpaper?
No, and apparently Neil Fox has allowed his own sort of espresso machine, his studio. They've all got better new studios. I've still got my old studio.
Oh, no. Well, congrats on the awards. That will make any room light up, I'm sure.
Thanks very much.
Enjoy the rest of the night.
Oh, that's right. And you, mate. Cheers.
It's Rodders at the Arkivas, and we're loitering between the bar and the men's toilets with John Holmes. What a night for XFM. Are you enjoying yourself?
I am. Why are you hanging out on the men's toilets?
But my excuse is it's not as noisy here because Ollie Murs was making a right old racket.
Yeah, but hang on. Lawrence William Bowen's just come out of the men's toilets, and we all heard that. Oh. So, you know, technically, that you're stuck between an Ollie Murs rock and a Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen having a shit hard place.
Has he redecorated in there?
In many ways, he's artexed it.
Oh, wonderful. So, XFM, like, it's going great guns at the moment. Where do you think you're going to go next week? You're still doing the breakfast show. How do you... It's a lot of pressure, because you've won stuff, and now you've got to carry on living up to it.
Well, you know, yeah, that's true. And we won tonight for a sort of radio advertising campaign that we did for Bulmer's Cider, which was also fun because it was my production company that was involved as well with Global. So it was like a double win for me. So, you know, now all I have to do is drink as much Bulmers as possible. I'm not even drinking.
I was going to say, how many crates did you get for nothing?
I don't eat or drink anything other than Bulmers or food I've marinated in Bulmers. That's my life now.
Goes well with apple cereal, I guess.
I've got two small children. I feed them Bulmers. They love the apple. They love the alcohol.
They'll be immune to it by Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
They've managed to marry the programming side of things with the sales and marketing side of things. How do you reckon is the best way of going about that? Because always the campaigns that don't work so well are the ones where there's obviously a sales department and down the other end there's a programming department in the building and they don't talk.
You're absolutely right. And what happened here is that everybody talked. So we went in at the ground level and we just said, well, at the end of the day, you want to buy ad breaks, and which is very boring now, isn't it? You want to buy ad breaks, and we can give you much more than just a spot ad. What we'll do is create a program, 3-minute-long program, that no one will notice as an advert, and thus it will probably have more of an impact. And no one believed us, and then we did it, and then suddenly it was a massive success. So now everyone's going, oh, that's interesting. Can you do that? And we go, yeah, come and talk to us. We can do that.
You're a comic, you're a performer. When you haven't got your business head screwed on, do you sometimes get a bit annoyed that you have to stop telling a joke to play an advert for say, Bulmers or whatever? How do you sort of remedy that in your head?
Well, the Bulmers thing was full of jokes, so that's a good thing. But other than that, no, not really. I mean, you get used to it. Commercial radio, you know, it pays our wages. Adverts pay our wages, and some of the adverts are brilliant, and some of them are terrible. But, you know, our job is then, I guess, as creative people, is to make the terrible ones better. So I guess, having come into commercial radio and only really been there for 18 months now, you know, I sort of go, oh, there's a gap there. Let's fill it with jokes and still sell things. And that way everyone seems happy.
Can you tell us what's been going on the XFM table? I wasn't allowed near it tonight. Looked all a bit scary.
The XFM table was it was a riot. Well, you know when Ollie Murs came on stage earlier?
Is it the right way up still, the table?
God, no. Ollie Murs came on earlier and said that he went around every radio station snogging and kissing people. I don't know whether you heard that. And he's the reason everyone at XFM has got hepatitis B.
Oh. I'm a radio royalty, Tony Blackburn, and the awards are, well, the awards are over, but the party's only beginning. Are you enjoying tonight?
Very much, yeah, very much. It's been a lot of fun, yeah.
You must have been to quite a few of these. How do these this tonight match up to previous events?
It's very good, you know. I mean, I'm sorry that Chris Stephen-O'Connell is not going to be doing it next year, but and it's the same at the Radio Academy as well. You know, Chris Evans isn't doing it.
There was a word of you hosting it next year. Would you be up for that?
They're wanting a new young guy, yeah. And I think that's probably me.
I think it'd be brilliant.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Probably not. I'm sure that they'll have somebody in mind. I would have thought so, didn't I? I have hosted these sort of events, not this one, but other ones in the past, and they're quite good fun, yeah.
So you were, of course, the voice that launched Radio 1.
Yeah.
Do you still listen into Radio 1 now and again?
I listen now and again, yeah. I mean, I'm really glad it's doing so well. You know, it's nice when you've launched a station like Radio 1, you know, and, you know, the thing's still doing well. I'm glad it's not doing as well as Radio 2 now, but obviously being on Radio 2. But, no, it's great. I mean, both stations are doing really well.
So what do you think you owe your amazing longevity on the radio? Because I don't think I've ever heard anyone say a single bad thing about you. And in this industry, that's quite rare, isn't it? I mean, what is it that you think makes pretty much everyone who's heard you on the radio warm to you?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I love what I do. I mean, not necessarily my program, but I love radio. I've always had a deep love of radio, right from, 50 years ago now it is. You know, at the end of this month, it'll be exactly 50 years. And so I've always loved radio. It's a very special medium, and I've always been faithful to it. You know, I love personality radio. That's why I love working at Radio 2. You know, it's full of personality.
Was there a personality you listened to growing up that you've idolised or thought about?
Well, I used to listen a lot to Pete Murray and Alan Freeman, of course, who, he used to do Pick of the Pops. And whenever I do the chart rundown, I always have him in my mind a little bit because he was the best at it.
Can you pinpoint a moment when your love affair with radio started?
I think from the age of about 4 or 5, when I listened to it for the first time, and I just loved it. You know, I love music, and I think people are now realising how much I love music. You know, I've obviously got the image of being a bit cheesy and silly and things like that. But one of the reasons why I've always had a love of soul music, and one of the reasons I've introduced the sort of jokey style is I wanted to bring soul music to a much larger audience. And that's the reason I did it, you know. But I do have a deep love of soul music.
Correct me if you're wrong. The show you're starting on BBC local stations on the Sundays, is that that's a soul music show, isn't it?
I started a new one last week. That was a soul music program. I got another one starting this week on BBC Berkshire. I work for BBC Berkshire anyway, but I've got that's a 60s and 70s and 80s show. But all the shows that I do, they're all slightly different. You know, I mean, down at Berkshire, I also interview MPs and things like that. But at Radio London, I do two soul shows now.
How do you find that the hard line having to interview MPs? Because you come across as such a nice, friendly person, and then suddenly you've got to stick it to an MP. Does that come easily to you or not?
Yeah, moderately so. Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, the MPs, they're probably a bit more wary of me now. But I think when I first started interviewing them, they didn't realise how much I knew about politics and stuff like that. Because I do watch an amazing amount of news. Because my personal love is news, and I love Sky News. In fact, I do the paper reviews on Sky News now every fortnight. So I'm just very lucky. You know, I feel I'm at the happiest now in my personal life and my career than I've ever been.
I guess you have less to prove now, and you can just get on and enjoy it.
Well, I suppose so. You know, at 71, I wake up in the morning and I'm breathing. Anything else that comes along is a plus.
Wonderful.
You know,
so.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix.
Right, with the KMFM bunch, Will. Will, programme controller, how did you find tonight?
How did I find tonight? I found we lost to Capital, which I will add are an amazing show, but it was good to be nominated. I think this is our first Arkiva nominated. I'm asking Roy because I don't know from Radio Today. Is it the first one?
I don't know. I'm not here.
I think Roy's not here. No, it's the first one. It's been a great event, and the drinks are brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. getting a nomination, that's great. You sound a bit frustrated they haven't won. Are you going to use the nomination to galvanise the team and hopefully get something next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's, as I say, first time for KMFM. We were a small group of stations in Kent. We want to try and get it on the map. We've got some real talent working for us now outside of the actual programming team as well as the programming team. And I think it's important that as much as the big Global and the Bauer stations and the Orion boys and UKRD, it's nice to have somebody else in the mix as well. Definitely.
It's Rodders at the Arkivas with Paul Sylvester, head of presentation at Absolute Radio. You must feel like a proud father tonight.
It is. It's really nice. You know, we won 4 awards, and it's really lovely in Christian's last year as host of the Arkivas.
Ladies and gentlemen, please may we invite you to join the after-show party as the ballroom is about to close. The ballroom is about to close. Thank you.
Note to self, edit that out.
Okay.
Absolutely, you must feel like a proud father tonight.
I am. It's really nice. I think, you know, Christian winning three awards on the night, he was genuinely surprised because he didn't know that he'd won three. I think he had a sneak preview he'd won one, but to win three in Breakfast Show of the Year, Presenter of the Year and Feature of the Year, you know, is great. But four for Absolute is a really good night.
I can't believe he doesn't have the morning off tomorrow. Like, he hasn't had a moment to rest. He's been hosting all night, gets to the award, has to go home to bed. I mean, that's harsh, right?
No, it's not. That's what breakfast show hosts do. If you do breakfast, you're up the next morning. And, he'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock.
Now, you guys have been investing really heavily in digital. And you're doing this genius thing where the breakfast show is going out on all the Absolute decades, Playing the songs simultaneously. So, effectively, I can change what type of music I want to hear on the breakfast show. Is that logistically being complicated for you to implement?
Oh, it's been massively difficult. It's been about 6 to 9 months in the making. It is really interesting that, you know, when we launched all of these digital stations, we wanted to give them all a great breakfast show, but we realized that actually, you know, the listeners to Absolute 80s wanted 80s music, and we've been working out how to do it. And actually what we've managed to do with our engineering team, our technical team and our music team is work out a way to do it. So Christian hits one button, fires seven different songs, all of which are matched in pace and tempo and duration, and then when he opens the microphone they all fade because they're all virtually at the end point. So it is really interesting, and I think it's a demonstration of what Golden Square wants to do, which is do brilliant content, entertaining content, but also make it work for all of our family of now seven stations.
I wonder though, the people who listen to, say, Absolute Radio 60 is more than any other of the Absolute stations, are they a different type of listener? Would they necessarily, would Christy O'Connell necessarily be on target for them?
Oh,
is there a discrepancy there or not?
I mean, I don't think that actually the Absolute Radio 60s audience is necessarily vastly older than the Absolute Radio 90s or noughties audience. And what it is we're seeing is people switching between the different stations depending on their mood, depending on what they want. I think what's really interesting is actually that those listeners to 60s actually get two songs, because 60s songs are generally shorter, so they'll actually get two songs, so even more music in the breakfast show. But I think what they want is their music with our content, so I think it works for everyone.
Frank Skinner's often joked about there being an Absolute 1940s, say. Is that something on the horizon?
I think that we, you know, our, you know, the music we've always played in Absolute Radio started with the Beatles and the Stones and came right through to today. No, I don't think you're going to hear Vera Lynn. I think we're happy with what we've got, and what we're about to do now we're part of the Bauer family is really grow what we've already got. I think that's really important. But no, you're not going to hear 40s, 50s, 30s, 20s or 10s.
The party is still rumbling on about at the Archivers, and I'm with Jamie Crick from Classic FM. You present the afternoon show. Have you had a good night?
That's right, yeah. I did the afternoon show at Classic, and this is not quite Classic FM music, really, but we're having a very good night. And, you know, it's terrific to be here with everyone from across the industry, you know, and celebrating what we do. And, you know, it's such a great night, actually, yeah. No.
There's there's often images of classical music listeners and presenters being quite refined. Have you been quite rowdy on your table tonight?
Well, hang on, look at the red trousers here, you know. I think people don't realise, and what I'm constantly telling people, and, you know, I talk to students at the university I used to go to, and say that, you know, we play classical music in the same way that any of our stations play music, in a rolling format sense. We want to provide music that is right for people who are picking the kids up from school, who are studying. Particularly this time of the year, I get a lot of people requesting music because they're doing a dissertation or an A-levels degree and so on. And it's important to realise that it's not just popular beat combos who are right for everyone when they're working at this time of the year. So, no, we are just another music radio station.
I'm with Gray Allen, and you've just picked up a Lifetime Achievers Award. All those hours, all those months,
all those
and
years.
Probably late nights. Yeah, all those years of late nights. Is it all worth it now?
It's all proved extremely worthwhile. And, you know, beyond the award, which I really appreciate and I'm very proud of, I actually just enjoy working in the industry. It's been a fantastic career. I hope it's not quite over yet, but I'm just so pleased to be honoured in this way.
It's about the Lifetime Achiever Award. It's about a sustained massive effort over a long period. But do you think there was any particular moment in your career that caught the judges' attention?
Well, I don't think so. I think perhaps I've just been around too long now and they felt it was time. But nothing special. It's just I've enjoyed every year all the different things I've done, from joining as a student to Radio Clyde in 1977, full-time in 78, chief engineer in 83, then doing digital in 1990, and now working with Bauer. You know, it's been fantastic fun, and I don't regret a minute of it.
What do you think of the future of digital at the moment? Because gradually, month on month, more and more cars are getting fitted with digital radio. Do you think it's slowly building momentum?
It's a really positive story. I think we'll be in a mixed ecology for quite some time to come, and there's more than one flavour of digital, and they'll all play a part. But we're moving steadily down the digital road. It's only a matter of time before it becomes the majority platform.
Digital too, is that another positive sign in your eyes?
That's a big step. It's really encouraging for us, particularly for the motor industry and for commercial radio itself, because national capacity is very limited. So D2 offers a great new opportunity for lots of people.
And with James Rea from LBC, what a night it's been for you. I bet you're feeling happy right now.
It's been an extraordinary year for LBC, and it's just fantastic for the team that it's been recognised. And this is the second year that we've won Station of the Year, and it is testament to the fantastic people that we've got.
LBC seem to have really cornered the speech market. There are very few commercial speech stations. Do you think that will change in the future following the explosion of success that LBC have had this year?
Well, the thing is, the guy who leads us out every single day is Nick Ferrari, and he's with us right now. And this is the guy who commands and seizes the day every single day.
Listen, I just want to say thank you very much to the Arqiva judges. God bless you. LBC has taken the biggest leap in its 40 and a half year life this year. We have now gone national. And for Arqiva to realise that and to recognise it just 3 or 4 months into what we've done, something that's never been done in this country before, we really, really want to thank Arqiva. We are taking it forward for commercial radio. We believe in commercial radio. We have an offering that works in commercial radio. We are a real alternative, and we're going across the whole of the country.
National DAB, as we spoke about earlier, do you think there'll be a time where it will go national on FM as well, or is the DAB as far as it goes?
Way above my pay grade, as if I care. All I know is that if you're listening now and you've not tried us, this is the moment. Find us on Sky, find us on a computer, find us however you have to find us. Because of the people around me, nothing to do with me, because of the people around me, we've just scooped a really prestigious award. I mean, this is a big, big award. We've got it 2 years on the run. If you've not listened to LBC, what more do we have to say?
Richard Park, what a fantastic night it's been for you and the Global family.
Yes, I'm absolutely delighted that Global has been recognised in so many varying ways, given the variety of our output. And the staff have had a tremendous evening here. It's been quite thrilling.
I think it's really been the year for LBC this year. How do you think you'll be able to continue the momentum that this station has gained?
Well, I think we're continuing the momentum from last year, because, of course, we won in 2013, so that is the second consecutive year that we have been the Station of the Year. So I couldn't be more proud. I'm absolutely thrilled for the team, because their efforts night and day are magnificent. The quality of the broadcasting, I think, has risen this year, and in the view of the judges, is very definitely worthy of another award. So it's tremendous.
It went national on DAB, kind of quietly. There was no big fanfare, but suddenly it was there. Do you think that's changed the landscape for Global?
Well, I think going national on DAB has been a big step forward for us, but I think there's lots of platforms on which around the country we can hear LBC. Certainly to be on national DAB and to have a lot of other people know that in their cars they can receive it, I think is a big benefit. And as it spreads around the houses of the country, well, we'll be looking to get more and more listeners over a period of time to hear what is a unique output.
Radio Moments.
This week, 15 years ago, Steve Wright in the Afternoon arrived on BBC Radio 2. It was the same sort of show which had aired on Radio 1 for 5.5 years. The new Radio 2 show replaced Stewpot.
Hello, darling.
1927 now, and this week that year, Christopher Stone made history as he became the first British DJ.
And here's the day when the heart is young. La, 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 la.
Christopher Stone speaking. I know you'd like to hear the rest of that, and so would I, but I just want to interrupt and explain a word that was mentioned, and that was Vox. I want to tell you what Vox is. It's the name of the company that...
Christopher Stone, that first record programme was called
Gramophone Records. So happy 87th birthday to the art of the British DJ. And in that same year of 1927, which was the year they had the first transatlantic phone call and the BBC was incorporated, Alan Freeman, this week, was born.
He's gone and done it again, all right. Came in last week at number 22 in the Pick of the Pops, top 30, bottom 10, straight to the Chandler Street. Number 9 for Donny Osmond and Too Young, and there ain't no movement for Michael.
We miss you, Fluff. When commercial radio launched, Capital and LBC were alone in London for quite some years. And then, on the 9th of July 1990, Melody Radio came to join the clan in London, and that now familiar commercial rivalry began.
This is Melody FM on 105.4, the time exactly 1 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Dave Gilby.
Melody Radio, which launched this week 24 years ago. It was owned by Lord Hanson back then, and he'd started it because they said he liked the light, music-intensive stations he'd heard in the States. The launch marketing slogan was, at last, radio without the speakers.
Don't know much, but enough to get by. Aaron Neville and Linda Ronstadt. We also heard Bread, Everything I Own, and Basher, Third Time Lucky.
This week, 11 years ago, BBC Director General Greg Dyke appeared on BBC WM. He announced that Coventry and Warwickshire was once again to get its own BBC local radio station. Greg said the decision to close the earlier CWR in 1995 had been a mistake, as a few people said at the time.
The BBC has announced its plans for the future of the local radio station that has served Coventry and Warwickshire for the past 5 years. BBC CWR is to merge with Radio WM. The head of broadcasting, Nigel Chapman, met staff today to outline his plans for the station. He says CWR will continue to broadcast from the early morning up to about 11 o'clock, and the change is being made because he says CWR doesn't have enough listeners. The MP for Rugby and Kenilworth, Jim Pawsey, says he's shocked by news of the merger.
I have to say that someone described it to me as a merger. My first reaction was that I misheard and that it was a murder.
Wake up, wake up, the best way to wake up with BBC CWR.
A reminder of the dying moments of the original CWR, but it was poised to return, as announced this week 11 years ago. If you live in West Yorkshire, join us in commemorating the 90th anniversary of radio this week. 1924 saw the launch of 2LS for Leeds and Bradford on 935 kHz.
Mr. J.C.W. Reith, as he then was, appointed me to open and run the station on June the 4th, 1924, just 1 month to get things going. My first local broadcast in the studio on the following day was Children's Hour. Though on one occasion I arranged for Sidney Furman to broadcast a suitable Sunday afternoon programme of light classics and opera and gentle tunes with nostalgic appeal. I couldn't be there to see the programme go out, and when later my friend, the engineer in charge, telephoned from Scarborough to tell me that What You Do Sunday Mary, a questionable and popular tune of the day, had been included in my Sunday programme, and as the press also rang me up, I became very uneasy. I hurried over to Scarborough to be confronted with placards at street corners blazing the headlines. BBC fiasco, Mr. Fox explains.
Philip Fox, and some things never changed. The BBC there defending itself. The beginning of radio in Leeds 90 years ago this very week. From the press this week, what have we got? Music Week magazine from this week in 1976. And there's an article on commercial radio. John Russell, who was then programme director of BRMB in Birmingham, was reported as saying his station rejects commercial radio's discotheque and robotic disc jockeys. Goodness. Commercial radio grew this week 34 years ago as a station launched from a former pub in Peterborough. 1332.
Good morning, you're listening to Heriwood Radio, broadcasting on 225 metres in the medium wave, that's 1332 kHz and 95.7 VHF in stereo. In a moment, the news at 6, followed by Daybreak with myself, Dave Bowen, and Jonathan Kramer.
Heriwood Radio launching from the Rose and Crown this week in 1980. Ralph Bernard, later with GWR, of course, was the first news editor there, wasn't he? So, with the loss of Peter Redhouse, the first BBC London manager this week 2 years ago...
We're a mixed old bunch on Radio London, merry and merry we be.
The first Classic FM transmitter turned on 22 years ago...
I want a price from you within 3 hours for a national FM network.
And the BBC Trust rejecting the plans to close Six Music this week 4 years ago.
Six.
Those are this week's radio moments.
Radio moments.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.